Welcome to another fruitful episode. Nothing specific with your boy Trevor David Houchin. Something about monkeys I just don't like. Something about monkeys I just don't like. I don't know what it is. I don't like the way that they kind of... I don't know. Like the way they're first of all, the way their arms drag, they're literal knuckle draggers, monkeys. Literally. They literally drag their knuckles. They've got horrible posture. Horrible posture. Stand up straight. Stand up straight. Dude, what? Why are you all bent over with your knuckles on the ground? And their teeth, either they've got absolutely no facial expression, or they're smiling wildly, and their teeth are just, oh my god, like it's like they're British. It's like they're British monkeys, their teeth, and they seem overly nosy to me, like nosy and like what's the word? Entitled? You know, they're grabbing stuff and right up in your face. I don't know. Monkeys, man. I can't get behind them. Can't get in front of them. Don't want to. Haven't really been practicing a lot lately. My Buddhism. Haven't meditated for like a week. I was thinking about doing it tonight, but, I was hungry. It was either eat or meditate, so I chose to eat. I can't stop eating snacks, man. I don't know how people don't eat. I mean, I don't know. I guess I used to do all right with it, but not really when I was heavy on the carnivore diet. But I have got to have something to eat. You know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is a little late, but I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll eat at 9. I'll eat at 10. I'll eat at 11. I'll eat at 11. I'll eat at 12. I'll try desperately not to eat after 12, but 8 o'clock. If it's 8 o'clock, like for example, tonight I had some food. I guess it was about 6. Sun was coming down, so I guess it was about 6. Walked home, 20 minutes, 25 minute walk home. Got inside, cleaned up a little bit. Straightened up. Checked the email. Disposed of all my stuff that I had with me during the day. Listened to some Dhamma talk. What is Dhamma talk, Trevor? Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. That's basically the teachings of the Buddha. It is the curriculum. It's essentially the curriculum of the Buddha. And the curriculum of the Buddha is essentially the truth about the nature of reality, of life. It's basically what it is. So I listened to a Dhamma talk for about an hour. And after the Dhamma talk, I was hungry. It's about 8 o'clock by this time. 8:30. Went to the convenience store, bought some sardines. God, I love sardines. I mean, who would have known? Who would have thought? Right? When I was a kid, sardines seemed like the absolute most disgusting things. But now I just love sardines, man. I kind of can't get enough of them. Like I could eat them every day. So I went to the convenience store, bought some sardines, bought some orange juice with the pulp. Always, people who don't like orange juice with pulp, I don't know what you guys are doing. You know, like I've said it before, orange juice without the pulp is like meat without the meat. Right. So I bought some orange juice with the pulp, some sardines, came home, cooked all that stuff up with 4 eggs, bringing my total to 6 eggs for the day. And, you know, I love eggs too. Can't stop eating them. You hear that eggs are like, you know, pretty much like the perfect food. So I'm on the eggs, man. I'm on the eggs. It's 10:11, and I'm pretty much ready for bed. Been writing these couple articles about Michael Jackson and Prince recently, though. I wrote the first part. The first part consists of what Michael and Prince were doing between 1980 and 1990. Let me give you a little synopsis. So people, for whatever reason, it seems like two things. Number one, people seem to think that Michael and Prince were not directly competing with each other. Like, somehow people seem to think that Prince came after Michael, and that's only true if you want to consider the fact that Prince came after Michael's childhood. Nobody knew who Prince was before 1979. This is when he released his first album's called For You, 79. What else happened in 1979? Michael Jackson released his debut solo album, Off the Wall. Now, this wasn't actually Michael's debut solo album. It wasn't actually his debut. Mike had a couple solo albums with Motown. Off the Wall was Michael's first debut album. First debut, oxymoron. Off the Wall was Michael's debut album with Epic Records, 79. And like I said, Prince had his debut, 79. So they both of these guys jumped out the box same exact year, 1979. And not only did they jump out the box same year, they were exactly the same age at the time. Exactly the same age. They were both 21 years old in 1979. 21. Both Michael and Prince were 21 years old. 1979, both of them dropped their debut albums. Now, of course, Michael's first album, Off the Wall, was like a tremendous success. Ridiculous. Sold almost 20 million copies. You know, I think he had a couple number ones off of it. Definitely had like three or four top tens. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Working Day and Night. What else? Don't Stop Till Working Day and Night. I Can't Help It. She's Out of My Life. I don't know if She's Out of My Life actually hit the charts, but people love that album. People love Off the Wall. A lot of people think that that's Mike's best album. It's really good. It's disco. It's essentially disco. It's disco, and it's also kind of Stevie Wonder-ish. I think Stevie wrote I Can't Help It. And if you listen to that song, looking in the mirror took me by surprise, and I can't help but see you, girl, running off in through my mind, helpless like a baby. All right. I'm sorry. Whatever. I don't care. Stevie Wonder-esque. That song's extremely Stevie Wonder-esque. And that's probably my favorite song on the album. I guess I dug Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Keep on. I guess I dug it, but I don't know. I wasn't heavily into it. As a matter of fact, I dug the Jackson 5's stuff more than I dug Off the Wall. I had to learn to accept that Mike wasn't going to be with his brothers anymore. I had to learn to accept that. I was not automatically like a Michael Jackson solo fan, and Off the Wall was just all right to me. I remember at that time, I think I was into stuff like Parliament Funkadelic. I was also into a lot of just, you know, AM radio stuff. James Taylor, The Eagles, Paul McCartney. Hip-hop had just hit at that time. I guess I was just getting into Grandmaster Flash and, you know, those dudes. But Prince's album, his first album, is called For You. And the biggest hit off this album is Soft and Wet. I think it's kind of a slow song. But that album, it didn't do a lot for Prince. Didn't do a lot. So Michael's Off the Wall has, what, like a 3-year run? 79 to 82? Prince releases For You in 79. Then Prince releases another album. It's called Prince in 1980. And the biggest hit off of that record was When You Were Mine. When you were mine, I gave you all of my money, time after time. Yeah. So that's his second album. It's called Prince. Didn't do real well. That one didn't do real well either. I think it had Why You Want to Treat Me So Bad on it as well. But it did all right, because When You Were Mine was a big hit. Everybody knows that song. That's 1980. 1981, Prince releases another album. This album's called Dirty Mind. And Dirty Mind had songs like Head, Uptown. What else was on Dirty Mind? Head, Uptown Sister. Controversial. Prince is on the cover of the album dressed in a jacket and black Speedos, knee-high boots. And this is where his controversy began, because he starts courting like a certain amount of like sexual androgyny, sexual energy, whatever. It's 82. Dirty Mind. So it's 82. Michael still no album, still no album. That's not true, actually. 79, 80. Okay, 79, Prince For You. 80, Prince. 81, Prince Dirty Mind. 82, Controversy. Right. 82, Prince releases Controversy. This is Prince's best album up to that point. It's got the lead song Controversy, the title song Controversy. It's a decent song. Controversy, am I black or white? Am I straight? Okay. Controversy. Didn't really like that song too much, but the album also had on it Let's Work, funky song. Also had Sexuality, which is just crazy. Sexuality is just an explosion. Sexuality is all you ever need. Like, just a nutty, 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 nutty song. Crazy. It's also got a couple other songs that were really great. Private Joy, great song. One of my favorite songs by Prince. Jack You Off, another great song. Another sexually suggestive song. Ronnie Talk to Russia and Annie Christian. I think I've actually just said every single song on that Controversy album. A really good album. Okay, so what did I say? 79, 80, 81, 82. Michael still does not have an album yet. Another album out yet. What happens in 1983? I think it was 83. Prince releases his next album. This album is called 1999. Prince blows up. Prince released 1999 in October. In October 1983, I believe, man. Yeah, October 1983, Prince releases 1999. Everybody knows the title track off that song, 1999. What happened in November, though, 1983? That same year, one month later, Michael releases Thriller. 1 month after 1999. 1 month. You guys, after 1999, Michael Jackson released Thriller. This is what I'm saying. People don't understand. People don't recognize how people don't recognize how both of these guys were like competing like head to head. Absolutely head to head, back to back. So 1999 comes out in October 1983, or it could be 82, man. Michael's Thriller comes out 1 month later. Whatever the year was, Mike's Thriller came out the next month. And 1999 is one of my favorite albums by any artist, any genre, any artist. I listen to that album on the regular. Incredibly well put together, artistic, evocative, well produced. It's genius. What songs are on 1999? Little Red Corvette, Delirious, Lady Cab Driver, International Lover, Dance Music Sex Romance, All the Critics Love You in New York, Automatic. It's insane. It's insane. It's an insane album. But MJ comes out a month later with Thriller. Now, of course, I don't have to mention any songs on Thriller. I'm going to go ahead and say I like 1999 much more than I like Thriller. I liked 1999 when it came out more than I liked Thriller when Thriller came out. I can't say I've actually ever listened to Thriller front to back, every song. I listened to 1999 front to back, every song, every few months. And every time I listen to it, it sounds exactly as fresh and innovative as it did when I heard it that first time I heard it, 1983. I'm not by any means saying 1999 is a better album than Thriller, because it could very well be that Thriller gave me the pancake effect. Trevor, what's the pancake effect? Trevor, what is the pancake effect, moron? The pancake effect is, if you have pancakes for breakfast every single day for, you know, X amount of months or whatever, one morning you're going to wake up and not want pancakes anymore. Am I right? One morning you're going to wake up and be like, geez, please, anything but pancakes. Give me sardines for breakfast. Anything but pancakes. That's, I think, what's happened with me and a lot of people as far as Mike's Thriller. It was so ubiquitous. It was played everywhere, all the time. It was on. If Beat It wasn't on, Billie Jean was on. If Billie Jean wasn't on, Wannabe Startin' Somethin' was on. If Wannabe Startin' Somethin' wasn't on, Human Nature was on. If Human Nature wasn't on, Thriller was on. Those songs, Beat It, Billie Jean, Wannabe Startin' Somethin', Human Nature, Thriller even, these songs, between 1983 and, I guess 1986 or so, these songs were just, it was too much, it was an overdose. So, that's one of the reasons why I can't listen to Thriller. I can listen to Human Nature, and I can listen to The Lady in My Life, but the other songs, I can't listen to them. Can't listen to them all the way through. It's too much. I've heard them too much. It's too much. 1999, I can listen to the whole thing. So, like I said, they both released these albums 1 month, within 1 month of each other. So what happens is, you remember, Michael Jackson takes over the world for a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years with Thriller. What's Prince's next album? Guess. What's Prince's next album? It's Purple Rain. Prince releases Purple Rain in 1984, summer of 1984, just about the time that, like I said, people were, you know, I can't even really say people were getting sick of Thriller at that point. I can't really even say that. People were still absolutely fascinated with Prince, with Michael. 84. Still fascinated with the guy. Prince releases Purple Rain, 84. Summer of 84. And then, I don't remember how long after, just a few months, he releases the movie. And the movie was fantastic, gigantic hit, very good movie. Very good movie. Very good movie, classic. It's a classic. Out of nowhere, this dude Prince, out of nowhere, he releases a movie. And it was fantastic. I wish I knew what the budget was. I could probably look that up. But I bet the budget for this movie wasn't more than 10 million bucks. I bet it wasn't more than 10 million bucks. I bet it was 2 million, 5 million. But anyway, it became incredibly successful and the world turned purple for a few years. Michael kind of, he didn't lay low. It's impossible for Michael Jackson to lay low. So he didn't lay low. He just didn't have any new music out for a while. So in 85, Prince releases Purple Rain. It blows up ridiculously. One year later, 86, Prince releases Around the World in a Day. What are the hits off of Around the World in a Day? Pop Life. What is it? What's the matter with your hair? Is anybody living there? The River of Addiction flows. When it gets hot, there won't be no water. When the fire blows, dig it, Pop Life. Everybody wants a thrill, Pop Life. We all got you to kill, Pop. Okay, all right. Around the World in a Day, it's psychedelic. Pop Life is one of the hits. What was another one of the hits off that song? Mountains was a little... No, Mountains isn't on that album. America is a little... Sure, I don't remember. Well, Pop Life was on that album. Around the World in a Day was on that album. Raspberry Beret. That was the hit. I didn't like that song. Raspberry Beret. Did not like that song. Still don't like that song. Raspberry Beret. Didn't like it. Pop Life, though. Around the World in a Day. Decent album, though. I think it had a song on there called Temptation as well, I believe. Decent album. That's that. Prince releases that in 85. Prince releases another album, 86. What's that album called? Parade. Being honest, big hit off Parade though. Kiss. Big hit off Parade was Kiss. There was also Girls and Boys. I think I Wonder You. I think Mountains was on this one. Another Lover Hole in Your Head, I think, was on this one. It was decent. Both Around the World in a Day and Parade, a little bit similar. Around the World in a Day, you could call it sort of psychedelic. Parade, also a bit psychedelic, but also a bit more, for lack of a better word, man, just like a bit more funky, but it also had some sort of like, what would I call it? Some sort of, not French, but, Renaissance? I don't know. Some sort of Renaissance French thing. And then he also releases his second movie, Under the Cherry Moon, and it was garbage. It was unnecessary. You know, Prince was feeling himself. Purple Rain was just outrageous, just outrageously successful, just fantastic. And he's feeling himself, and he gets somebody to finance another movie, and he puts together Under the Cherry Moon, and it's garbage. It's in black and white. It's set in France. It didn't work. So that's what. So that's 86. 87, what does Prince do? He releases another album. What's this album called, Trev? Love Sexy. What's the hit from Love Sexy? The hit from Love Sexy is Alphabet Street. I'm going down to Alphabet Street. Incorrect. 87, Prince releases Sign of the Times. This was as good, very many people think, better than 1999. I don't think so. The reason I don't think so is because I allow myself to indulge myself in new wave, electronica, a certain electronic new wave kind of thing. And 1999 had a lot of that. Sign of the Times is funkier, you know, a bit more mysterious, absolutely, definitely more, it's definitely more mature. Prince is dealing with mature themes, maybe more poetic. Sign of the Times, it's fantastic. This album, it is fantastic. I'm not arguing with people who say it's better than 1999. I won't argue. So that, I think that's 87. 88, what happens in 88? Mike comes back. Mike releases his album, Bad. The first single from Bad is I Just Can't Stop Loving You. I hated that song. Hated it. And still hate it. Syeda Garrett wrote it. I just can't stop loving you. Hate it. Second release from Bad is the title track, Bad. Michael's in the subway, New York City, Wesley Snipes music video. I remember that thing premiered. I'm going to say it was on CBS. Premiered on CBS, 8 o'clock prime time. The video, they played the whole video. It's about a half hour long. It's about Michael coming home from his private school one summer or one, you know, I don't remember if. I don't remember what time of year it was, but Mike comes home from having attended private school. He comes back to his hood in New York. Now, see, this is something people don't get, is that Michael adopted New York City. Michael lived in L.A. Neverland was from, you know, is in L.A. It's in Encino. I think it's in Encino. Michael himself and his family, of course, from Gary, Indiana. But Mike adopted New York in a way that people don't recognize. And this album, Bad, and this particular video was evidence of that. The Wesley character, the Wesley Snipes character, is rocking a sheepskin. Sheepskins were huge in New York in the mid-80s. Remember now, I said Mike's album came out in 87. Sheepskins were huge from when I was in high school in New York. Wesley's character is rocking sheepskins. One of his boys is rocking Cazal sunglasses, also super popular in the city. Again, in the early 80s. And once again, I'm talking about the late 80s right now. This album came out in 87, I believe. So Michael really saw what was going on in the streets in New York City. Then they start dancing in the subway, and what's Michael doing? He's grabbing his thing. He's grabbing his crotch left and right. Why is Michael doing that? Because all the B-boys in New York were doing that at the time. Yo, man. Hey, yo. Yo, baby, come here. Let me talk to you, baby. Yo, what's up? What's up, honey? Yo, what's your name, baby? Yo, where you from? Oh, me? Oh, nah, you know, I don't get down like that, baby. But, you know, I'm just trying to... Yo, let me talk to you. Let me talk... Why are you running away, baby? Come here. What, so you gonna do me like that? The entire conversation, this dude's got his hand on his crotch. Michael's dancing. Michael's new move, his new controversial move with the album Bad is him grabbing his crotch. Remember, you got to remember, he had, before the album Bad, Mike had never done that. Michael didn't grab his crotch when Thriller was out. Think about the Billie Jean video. He didn't put his hands anywhere near his crotch. Not in the Thriller video, not in the Billie Jean video, not in the, you know, not in the Beat It video. The Beat It video would have been the perfect time for Mike to grab his crotch, but he didn't. The first time the dude was grabbing at himself was on the Bad video in the subway, and Mike got that from Hood's B-Boys on the streets in New York City. Even his clothes, that wasn't leather, but that black getup, he, you know, cats in New York were not rocking that. We're not rocking those kinds of clothes, but Mike wanted to be Bad at that time. And if, you know, there's a case to be made. Okay, so cats were rocking that kind of gear in the early part of the 80s. Think about it. Go back and watch Grandmaster Flash's The Message video. Go back and watch Grandmaster Flash's The Message video. That's what the Furious Five are wearing. The Message came out in 82. By the way, The Message came out the same year that Prince a year before Prince dropped 1999 and Michael dropped Thriller. 1 year before that, Grandmaster Flash dropped The Message. So that's where Mike's getup came from in his Bad video. Next single after Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel. The Way You Make Me Feel is the next video from Bad, and personally, that's probably my favorite song on the album Bad. Again, I wasn't that into, I'm just going to be honest, you know, it hurts to say this, but, you know, truth is truth. I wasn't that into the music. Songs on Bad are I Just Can't Stop Loving You, which I just told you I didn't like. The song Bad, which I thought was all right. The long version of Bad is hot, though. There's a remix of it. Long version of Bad, like a 12-inch, and I've got it. I've got that 12-inch on wax. It was better than the single. The single was all right. I'm telling you, but watch your mouth. I'm gonna show you stuff. It's all about Shimon. It's all right. Next single, The Way You Make Me Feel, hot. Mike's running down the street chasing the girl. The gangsters are out there telling him to go get the girl. That's a hot video. The Way You Make Me Feel. Next single from The Way You Make Me Feel. Next single from Bad, I believe, was I want to say it was Another Part of Me. You're just another part of me. That's a decent tune. Reminds me a little bit of Heartbreak Hotel, which is one of my favorite songs by the Jacksons. After Another Part of Me, I believe the next single, Man in the Mirror, gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. It's gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A silent distant kind, a broken bottom tie, and a washed out dream. They follow each other all the way, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know. Man in the Mirror, great song. Great song. Michael didn't write it. Michael didn't write it. Michael did not write Man in the Mirror. Huge song anyway. I believe Saeed Garrett and Quincy Jones wrote it. Could be mistaken. Next single after Man in the Mirror, Smooth Criminal. And just, that was just one of the best videos I think ever made. One of the best videos I think ever made by any artist. And here's where Michael and Prince absolutely diverge. Prince just never really was able to put a stamp, to put his stamp on the music video format. Think about Prince's videos. Think about them. Prince's first videos from 1999, Delirious, 1999, he's just on stage in a big purple, you know, overcoat. Those videos are blurry. Not really good. Not really good. It wasn't until Purple Rain that Prince was able to do something memorable with videos. But even then, think about him. Think about him. Think about the When Doves Cry video. The dude's in the bathtub. He's walking around. It's like a white background. He's not really doing much. It's not interesting. It's not interesting. The interesting videos from Purple Rain are all from the movie. All from the movie. Darling Nikki. The Beautiful Ones. The Purple Rain. Let's Go Crazy. Fantastic songs, but the videos are all from the movie. Then, I mean, can you even think of any of his videos from Around the World in a Day? Raspberry Beret. Okay, it's a green screen. It's a green screen. Raspberry Beret. It's a green screen. It's Prince and a green screen. This is what I'm saying. All of Prince's videos look like they cost like $45. $40-$50. Prince, let's make a video. It just wasn't able to get the video thing right. Michael's videos, on the other hand, are epic. They are epic. They transcend the song. Prince's videos don't do his songs justice. Michael's videos transcend and elevate the songs. This is one of the reasons why in the 80s, Michael was able to be more successful than Prince. The music video format was introduced in the 80s. This is when it was invented. Somehow, for some reason, it seems like it was invented for Michael Jackson. Was invented for Michael to do what he did with videos. Prince, what it was, I'm going to tell you what it was. Prince was too proud of his music. I'm just telling you what it is. Prince was too proud of his music. Prince saw what Michael was doing with the videos. He saw MTV, of course he did. But what he thought was, I'm a musician. Okay, I play guitar, I play all these instruments. I'm a musician. I don't give an F about these videos. I don't give an F about these videos. I write great songs. I write a lot of songs. I'm a musician. I can write circles around people. This is what Prince thought. He put the middle finger up to the music video early on. And it hurt his career for the entire time. But what he did do
What he was able to do, what he was smart about, was what Prince did was he thought, okay, well, Michael has these incredible videos, and you gotta know that Prince, I mean, of course he saw Michael's videos. Of course Prince saw Michael, he saw Billie Jean, he saw Beat It, he saw Thriller. He saw these amazing videos, and he just couldn't do it. That's it. Or else he would've. He just couldn't do it. He just was unable to do it. He threw every bit of his creative energy into writing songs, producing music, playing instruments. That's what Prince did early on. But what he was just insanely smart about was what Prince did was he decided, okay, I suck at these music videos, so what I'm gonna do is make a movie. I'm gonna make a movie. And that's what he did. That's what he did, and that's why Purple Rain blew up. He was able to translate his character, you know, the dude that he was in real life, he was able to translate that into a movie, and then that blew up. Okay, so let's keep talking. So, Bad. Michael Jackson's Bad. So I told you most of the singles. He also released Liberian Girl. I think he released maybe 9 songs from the Bad album, and then he also released a long form music video. It was called Moonwalker. I don't know if you remember that one. It had Leave Me Alone on it, which is another, just when Leave Me, do you remember the video for Leave Me Alone? So Leave Me Alone, the video for that, groundbreaking at the time. Just even still, go watch Leave Me Alone, the video. Go watch Michael Jackson's Leave Me Alone, the video. It's a work of art. It's a work of art still to this day. Leave Me Alone, that video came out 40 years ago, almost 35 years ago. It's a work of art. I mean, Michael was somehow, Michael was a genius with his music videos for some reason. Why though? Why was he? He was. Michael was a genius with his music videos. Okay, so think about, can you think about one single video off of Prince's Sign of the Times album? One. Can you think of one? You can't. But from Michael Jackson's, you know, you can, you know, from Bad, you can think about the Bad video, the title track, The Way You Make Me Feel. You can immediately see it in your mind. Smooth Criminal, you can immediately see it in your mind. Prince, he doesn't have that. None of his music videos are like that. Prince's most iconic music video is When Doves Cry. And it's garbage. It's garbage in retrospect. It's almost laughable. It's almost embarrassing. Go back and watch When Doves Cry right now. It's almost embarrassing.
All right, so Bad comes out, like I said, I think 88. Sign of the Times comes out, like I said, I think 87. Sign of the Times is, you know, it's almost difficult to compare Sign of the Times and Bad. They're they're such different albums. They're such different albums. Completely different albums. They're almost not worth comparing. Sonically speaking, and when I say sonically speaking, I mean in terms of production quality, the clarity of the sounds, the dynamic integrity of the sounds, Bad is the better album in terms of production. Sign of the Times, on the other hand, is the better album in terms of art, in terms of integrity, musical integrity, in terms of thoughtfulness. I mean, Sign of the Times. Sign of the Times is on that album. Starfish and Coffee, Dorothy Parker, If I Was Your Girlfriend, Adore, I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man, Housequake. It's Starfish and Coffee is an amazing album. It's an amazing album, unquestionably. If I had to choose, you know, if I'm stranded on a desert island and I've got to choose an album between Bad and Sign of the Times, it's no contest. It's Sign of the Times. If I'm stranded on a desert island and I've got to choose, I can have three albums, and those three albums can only be Michael Jackson or Prince. I'm choosing 1999, Sign of the Times, and Off the Wall. I'm choosing 1999, Sign of the Times, and Michael's Invincible. I'll get to that later, maybe. So, 88, Michael releases Bad, and then he immediately goes on tour in 89. Prince releases Sign of the Times in 87. In 88, Prince releases Love Sexy. Alphabet Street is the single off that. Love Sexy is garbage to me. I'm sorry. It's 88. 89, Prince releases Batman, the soundtrack to Batman. I don't like that album either. I like Scandalous, Slow Song. I think he's got Kim Basinger in the studio on that album, and they're having sex. Kim Basinger and Prince are having sex in the studio on the song Bat Dance. I'm sorry, on the song Insatiable. I'm sorry, on the song Scandalous. Sorry. Bat Dance, didn't like that. The big hit off that was You Got the Look. I think Sheena Easton sung that with him. I might be mistaken. I didn't like that song. And you see, this was a time when a lot of Prince's songs, a lot of Prince's music, had that sort of generic funk thing going on. You Got the Look has it. Every song on, well, his next album. His next album was Glam's Graffiti Bridge. His next album was Graffiti Bridge. Love Sexy, though, also just has a bunch of these I'm just going to call it Prince Funk. Yeah, Thieves in the Temple was another one. This was on Graffiti Bridge. This was on his next album. This was 1990. But, you know, a lot of Love Sexy and Bat Dance. Just, it's just not good to me. It's this weird, it's not weird, but it's this, it's just this uninteresting sort of funk. And I used to love funk, Parliament Funkadelic. Who else? Lakeside. Wild Cherry. Play That Funky Music, White Boy. James Brown, of course. Who else is good funk? I said it already. George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, Bootsy Collins. You know, there's a case to be made that Sly Stone stuff might be considered funk. Who else is, you know, funk? Bands like Heatwave, Grooveline, I'd consider that funk. But Prince's late 80s, early 90s funk, it just was out of place, as far as I'm concerned. It just was out of place. Hip hop had hit by then. Sonically, music had changed by then. You know, music had changed. And Michael was riding with it. The way you make me feel, like I said, even bad, Liberian girl, even, you know, Man in the Mirror. There was something modern sounding about these songs. You know, they weren't hip hop, but Liberian Girl, it sounds, it's so well produced. Prince's funk songs, like on Love Sexy, they just, I don't know, man. I don't, all right, well, okay, all right. So he releases Sign of the Times after, 88, something like that. Then he releases Love Sexy, 89. Then he releases, he releases Sign of the Times, 87. He releases Love Sexy, 88. Michael releases Bad, 88. Prince releases the Batman soundtrack, 89. Then in 90, Prince releases Graffiti Bridge. This is a third movie. Graffiti Bridge is a direct sequel to Purple Rain. The difference being, Purple Rain is set in Minneapolis. It's set in, like, it's real looking. It's real. Everything is real. Lake Minnetonka, First Avenue, Prince's apartment, Vanity's apartment, I'm sorry, Apollonia's apartment. It's real. It looks real. Purple Rain, it looks real. Graffiti Bridge looks like it looks like a cheap Broadway stage theatrical production. It's unbelievably bad. At least in terms of its visual thing. But once again, Prince is just not doing his thing visually. Graffiti Bridge, 1990, the film, it looks horrible. It's unbelievable. The acting is just abysmal. Abysmal. It's so campy as to be like comical, but it's not meant to be comical. It's a drama. It's a full-on drama. It's a full-on good versus evil, light versus dark, love versus hate, salvation versus pain. It's dealing with all these really, really heavy themes, but it's terrible. Graffiti Bridge, terrible. And the album is also just no good. Just no good. So from 80, so if we're going to say, if we're going to allow for Prince to have experimented with Around the World in a Day and Parade, cool. Well, we allow for him to experiment. Then he comes back super strong with Sign of the Times. It's one of the best albums ever by anybody. It is the late 80s R&B, psychedelic R&B version of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, Lonely Hearts Club Band. That's what Sign of the Times is. That's what Sign of the Times is. Fantastic. But then after Sign of the Times, he misses with Love Sexy. He got a lot of commercial success from the Batman soundtrack. I it's unlistenable to me. The only song on that album that's listenable is Scandalous. The rest of that album is unlistenable to me. Then Graffiti Bridge, also unlistenable. However, I will give him the single
Thieves in the Temple and Seven. I think Seven was on that album. Seven, watch them fall. They stand in the way of love and we will smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir faire. No one in the whole universe could ever compare. I am your heir and you are mine, and together we love through space and time, so don't cry. One day all seven will die. I think that was on the Graffiti Bridge album, but actually, I don't think so. I don't think so. So that's 1990. Michael's on tour with Bad. Michael is recording new ideas in his hotel. Bad goes on to be the most successful. It's his. By the way, Bad is Michael Jackson's first solo tour. People think he toured before that. He didn't. Michael did not tour behind Off the Wall. Michael did not tour behind Thriller. Believe it or not, Thriller sold 40 million albums in 2 years. It's just absurd. And he did not tour. He did not tour behind Thriller, yet still sold 40 million albums. Absurd. Bad was Michael's first solo tour. Of course, it becomes the most, up to that point, the most successful solo tour in history. 4.5 million people saw Michael perform Bad on tour. The overwhelming majority of that tour, if not the whole thing, the overwhelming majority of the Bad tour is overseas. He didn't do the Bad tour here in America. The entire thing was overseas. So Michael comes back. The tour ends, I think, 1991. And then I think in 91, Prince releases Diamonds and Pearls. Great, great, great album. Diamonds and Pearls and Purple Rain, very similar albums. Very similar albums in terms of like the beauty element, the love element, the accessibility, glamorous. Both of these albums, very, very glamorous albums. Diamonds and Pearls. What are the singles off Diamonds and Pearls? Money Don't Matter Tonight, Cream. I didn't really like Cream all that much. Strollin', that's a great song. We could have fun just strolling, rocking, rolling, oh yeah. Michael's next album, Dangerous. We'll talk about that in my next episode. I'm Trevor David Houchin. This is Nothing Specific. Peace and blessings, guys.